Thank you. Let's pray together. Father, we rejoice in the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have lifted us up out of the miry clay and set our feet upon the rock, which is Christ Jesus. We thank you that we can build our lives on that rock, Jesus Christ, not on the shifting sands of the world's wisdom. Father, we pray that you will help us to live as the redeemed. We pray that you will help us to be respecting our government officials. Lord, whether we agree or we disagree, Lord, we pray that you'll help us to honor them, to be respectful towards them, to not lead others into dishonoring them through their words or their attitudes. And Father, we pray that you will give our government officials wisdom as they have important decisions to make. And Lord, we pray that as you give them wisdom, they will make those choices that will help protect us, will provide for the general welfare of our society, that they will defend us. Lord, we pray that you will give them wisdom. We pray for those who are helping ill parents, for those who are dealing with long-term illnesses over time as the elderly are inclined to and prone to. And we just pray for your grace, mercy, and peace for them. Many we've mentioned in past weeks, and today especially want to pray for Steve Rogers, Ashley Gross's dad in South Carolina. Pray for him, not only physically, but spiritually. And there certainly are others who, again, we have prayed for. We pray for Mike Zielinski's dad and for your grace, mercy, and peace for him. We pray for those who are in prison. And certainly the COVID-19 virus has impacted our prison system as well. But this morning, Lord, we want to lift up those who are the redeemed, who have come to know Jesus Christ because of one means or another. We thank you for our Lakes ladies who are faithful in ministering to inmates. And for those inmates who've been saved, we pray for your protection of them. We pray for your grace and mercy for them. Help them to be bold for Jesus Christ. We commit them to you. We pray for our health workers and our first responders and grocery store employees from our Lakes family as they go about their responsibilities, you know, wherever it is that they work. We pray that you will protect them, help them to be wise, help them to be caring and loving, ministering grace whenever and wherever they can. We pray for our moms today, and what a wonderful day this is to set aside on the second Sunday in May, a day to honor our moms, those who've influenced us the most. And Lord, for some of us, our mother has passed. For others of us, our mother is still alive. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to celebrate with them the goodness of God in their lives and through them to us. Lord, we pray for our elders. We pray that you'll give them wisdom. They too have important decisions to make as they care for the church, and these are very interesting times, and we pray that you'll help our elders to make good decisions as they lead us and protect us and feed us. Lord, we pray that your grace will be on them and help them to make those decisions. We commit them to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And this morning, we want to look at some things in God's Word about moms and parenting. What an awesome time of year. Every commercial on television seems to remind us that these are uncertain times. Aren't you just sick of that? That phrase, uncertain times. If they don't say uncertain times, they say unusual times or unprecedented times. Others try to convince us that we are living in challenging times. Will someone just please clarify for us what time it is with all of this time? Well, I will. It is time for us to honor our moms. They taught us how to tie our shoes, how to chew with our mouth closed. They taught us to blow our nose and to count our toes. They brought us into the world, and some of our moms assured us they could take us back out if necessary. So thank you, Mom, for all of that. I hope that you were raised by a godly mother. If so, then you have the awesome privilege of sharing with your children what your mother taught you and all that she gave to you. If you are not raised by a godly mother, then you have the glorious privilege of rewriting history by giving to your children what your parents did not give to you, a Christian heritage. And you take all the fun that your parents gave you and you add the gospel. And what an awesome thing to do for our children. And rather than bemoaning the fact that we weren't raised by Christian parents, let's rejoice in the fact that we have the opportunity to give our children something that our parents didn't give to us. And we have the opportunity to infuse the gospel into our children's lives. And let me just tell you a secret. This works for grandparents as well. Well, I have a couple favorite memories of my mom. One you hear often, and that is a memory of waking up on Sunday mornings to my mom playing the piano and practicing her choir number for later that morning when the church gathered for worship. And that's an incredibly fond memory. And the last couple of times that I've talked to my mom on the phone, and we had a Zoom call with Ann and I and our sons and grandkids with mom yesterday, and she has had the opportunity to begin practicing the piano. She doesn't have a piano in her home anymore, but she has access to one. And so that has stimulated that memory for me now that she's practicing the piano again. The other memory that I have very vividly in my mind is probably a bit of embarrassment for her. I've never asked her, but my mom used to smoke cigarettes. And since my dad worked for a tobacco company, I think it was easy for her to get her hands on cigarettes. And after we moved to Michigan, I remember coming home from school one day with my brother and sister, and my mom, our mom, sat us down at the table, and she told us that she quit smoking. And I didn't really understand the significance, I don't think, at that time. I was probably 7 or 8. And one of us asked why she quit smoking. And she informed us that there were a lot of reasons, but one of them was that she didn't want us to smoke when we were older. And that had a tremendous impact on me. My brother, sister, and I, we don't smoke. But more importantly than the fact that we don't smoke cigarettes is that all of us read our Bible like our mom does, our mom did. And all of us sing, just like our mom modeled for us when we were younger and models for us now. All of us love the Lord like our mom does. And thank you, Mom, and thank you, Lord, for giving me a godly mother to set an example for us. Well, Deuteronomy chapter 6 really speaks about those things, those two examples I just gave from my own mom's life. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is a familiar passage to us. It's an important passage of Scripture to us. It's probably in your Bible you have a heading, The Greatest Commandment. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me, Moses, to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord or honor the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and that phrase, hear therefore, O Israel, is Shema Yisrael. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, Shema Yisrael, the Lord our God, the God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. These are great truths, and the emphasis here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 is on the covenant that the Lord had made with Abram in Genesis 12, then confirmed with Isaac and Jacob and eventually all of Israel here in the book of Deuteronomy. This Shema Yisrael that you see there in verse 4, this is Yahweh is our God. Hear, Israel. Hear, listen, pay attention. Yahweh is our God, and he is one. Hear him. Listen to him. Obey him. And if you look at verse 5, this reveals the proper response to who God is, and that response is a wholehearted passion for the Lord. Verse 6 confronts us with a probing question. Is this, what we see here in Deuteronomy 6, is this an accurate description of my heart and soul? Is this how I am loving the Lord my God? And as we look at verse 6, this probing question, pointing back to verse 5, does this accurately portray my spiritual passion? And the answer to that question is crucial. Before we ever could go on, we have to answer that question about our heart, about our soul, about our spiritual passion. Because verse 7 is taking that spiritual passion that we have and passing it along to our children and to our grandchildren. And this proclamation of truth certainly begins with our family, but it's not limited to our family. If you look at the book of Deuteronomy, God is communicating to families, to individuals, the responsibility to pass this passion along to the entire nation. And how do we do that? Especially if we don't have children or grandchildren. Well, it begins with our family, but it's not limited to our family. This involves the kids that we coach and the children we have opportunity to rub shoulders with. Perhaps it's children we're related to, but maybe it's not. And if you don't have children, how important it is to find some, to attach yourself to some children that you can influence and be passing along spiritual truths, reinforcing what their parents are teaching them, or giving them what their parents aren't. This goes back to what we've been looking at in the weekday Facebook presentation at 11 o'clock. Maybe you're watching that, maybe you're not, but what I mentioned last week or a couple weeks ago from Colossians chapter 3, we're marinating in the Word of God. We're saturating ourselves with the Word of God, soaking it up like a sponge so that the Word of God is oozing out of us. And what we see here in Deuteronomy 6 is we are teaching our children the truth of God's Word when we are at home. Our table, our kitchen table needs to be serving truth at every meal. When we're putting our children to bed, before they step out the door for school, even when we're watching television, we are oozing truth. When we are out doing life, we're oozing truth. This is important. At Home Depot, at the restaurant, at the ball game, riding in the car, we're proclaiming truth, morning, during the day, and at night, all day long. So we have to stop here, and we have to evaluate ourselves honestly before the Lord, checking our heart, our soul, before the Lord who knows our innermost thoughts. Lord, examine me, my heart, my soul. Heavenly Father, do that in us right now, wherever we are and whoever we're watching with. Help us to examine ourselves, to look at our spiritual passion. Is there sin that needs to be confessed and forsaken? Does there need to be a stirring of our soul, a reigniting of the passion for your word, that we are marinating ourselves in the truth of your word, allowing it to saturate our lives so that it oozes out? Lord, check our spiritual temperature. And our spiritual passion. And do a good work in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Am I purposefully proclaiming the Lord to everyone? But specifically to my children and my grandchildren. I love opportunities now as a grandpa to be able to spend time with my grandchildren and talk to them about these things, about their parents and their attitude towards their parents. And asking them to be obedient to their parents. I love to talk to them about these things. This is an intentional leading our children to the truth. I want my kids and my grandkids to know the Lord. And I praise the Lord, that's the testimony of my sons, and pray that it will become the testimony of my grandsons. This is intentional. We are planning this. When we are alone with the Lord, we're asking the Lord to give us an opportunity to speak to our children about these things, to speak to them the truth, so that they know the Lord and that they know what God says. So this is intentional, but at times it's accidental as well. It's without a script. It's without a plan. You look at verse 7, it says, teach them diligently. I love this, and maybe you want to mark this in your Bible. Teach them diligently means to impress. Literally, it means to leave a mark. Now, that's interesting. Now, some of you are old enough to remember Play-Doh, and more importantly than the Play-Doh is the Sunday comics. And show of hands, how many of you used to take the Play-Doh, press it down in the Sunday comic, and make an impression so that when you pulled the Play-Doh off, there was the comic on the Play-Doh. You remember that? Well, let me tell you another example. If you take a dime and press it to your forehead and hold it there. Since it's a dime, hold it there for 10 seconds. And then take the dime off and look in the mirror. And you can see the impression of the dime on your forehead. That's what verse 7 means. Teach them diligently. Leave a mark. Make an impression. And we want to make an impression with the Word of God on our progeny. Now, please turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And how are we going to teach our children? How are we going to impress truth into our kids' lives? What is it that I'm supposed to teach them or tell them? We need to develop a plan of attack. Set some goals. And here is what I want to teach them. I want them to be prepared for life as it happens. As situations arise, let's make those teachable moments. I have a plan to teach them this. But now, all of a sudden, I'm in the store and this happens. I need to be prepared to teach my children about what has just happened. I need to be ready for the questions that they ask. And some people say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, that's why we need to be saturating ourselves with the Scripture so that it's oozing out of us. As our children ask questions or we see situations, we can respond to that. So let's look at Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight. Verse 2 covers it all. To know wisdom, to know instruction, to understand words of insight. This is what all of us need. Whether we're a parent or a child, whether we're a grandparent or a grandchild, all of us need to know this, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son. This is like Shema Yisrael. Hear, O Israel. Now Solomon says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Look at verse 8. First of all, we teach our children to listen to you, to us. Listen. I'm talking to you. We teach our children to watch us, to listen to us, to watch us, to see what we do, to hear what we say. And we teach our children not only to listen and to watch, but to respond. What are you hearing? What are you seeing? Flip over a couple pages or a page to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 20. Chapter 4, verse 20. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. Well, this ties back to Deuteronomy. If what we're teaching our children is the Word of God, we want them to hide that in their heart. If what we're modeling for our children is the Word of God, we want them to hide that in their heart. Start now, whatever age your children are. It doesn't matter. You say, my kids are too old. I missed the opportunity. No, start doing the right thing now. While your kids are under your roof, and I remember having this conversation with sons who were teenagers or sons who were 18 and still living at home. And that's an interesting time of life, isn't it? When they think they're an adult, and technically they are, but they're still eating my food, still sleeping in my bed, I'm still paying for their heat, and they're still wearing clothes that I'm buying for them, they'd better listen. So whatever age your children are, and whether you've been doing this their whole life, or maybe you've missed the boat, and now it's time to start speaking the truth to your children. Don't wait any longer. It's never too late to do the right thing. So back in chapter 1 and verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Teach your children about temptation. Teach your children about the consequences of sin. If you're listening to the radio or watching television and a story comes on, make it a teaching opportunity. If you're out and about, you're at Home Depot or Meijer or wherever you are and you see something, teach your children. Well, what if somebody hears us? So what? Your responsibility is to speak to your child. I remember so vividly, and some of you do, remember when you could smoke in stores? A long time ago, fortunately. And I'm standing in line with one of my sons, and the guy ahead of us is smoking a cigarette. And my son looks at me and he says, "That man is cigaretting." And as I knelt down next to my son, the man turned around. And the man said to my son, "It's an awful habit. Don't ever start." And then I communicated to my son while we were in the store, and when we got in the car, I talked to him about smoking cigarettes. I told him the story about my mom. I told him why I don't smoke. And I pointed out men here at Lakes who don't smoke. And I asked my son, "Do you know why they don't smoke? Do you know why Daddy doesn't smoke? Do you know why Grandma and Grandpa don't smoke?" And we talked about it. And the man heard us. And the man said to my son, "Listen to your dad." I remember a son coming home from a neighbor's house and saying, Mr. So-and-so drinks beer. Well, Mr. So-and-so is allowed to drink beer, but Daddy doesn't, and here's why. And I explained to him why I don't. And we have those opportunities in our life to be able to explain to our kids why we do things and why we don't do other things. Look at chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. That's the man smoking in the store. In the markets, she raises her voice. Wisdom is everywhere. Do you know why wisdom is everywhere? Because foolishness is everywhere. And we have the opportunity to point out to our children, there's wisdom. Listen to her. There's foolishness. Be careful of her. Wisdom and foolishness are everywhere. And listen, remember when we used to be allowed to have picnics? Matter of fact, Memorial Day coming up, we typically have a church picnic. Have you ever watched at a church picnic? You know, people are sitting around, they've got their plates, and some people are sitting on the ground, some people are sitting at tables, other people just have chairs and whatever. And all of a sudden, some kid over on the playground yells, "Mom." And you know what happens? 15 moms go, "Phew." And they look. All they heard was "Mom." And they didn't have the time to distinguish the voice. We need to teach our children to be able to distinguish the voice of wisdom and listen and foolishness and ignore. We teach our kids to recognize the voice of wisdom. And we ask them, is that a wise choice? And then we help them work through the situation and consequences. You've heard me say in the past, when before our boys left for school, we gathered by the front door and held hands or hugged or whatever, and I would pray for the boys. I would pray almost every day, help them to choose wisdom and walk in righteousness. Now, flip over to chapter 3. Chapter 3, look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord. You probably maybe have these verses memorized. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. We teach and model for our children how to rely on the Lord and how to walk by faith. Have you talked to your kids about COVID-19? Have you talked to your kids about COVID-19? How we live, why things are different, why we're doing this instead of what we normally do? I mean, have we only grumbled about the governor? Is that the extent of our communication to our children about COVID-19? Have we talked to them about what you're praying about decisions that you and your spouse are having to make for about jobs, about our house, about our family? Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 23. Proverbs is packed full of things for us to be teaching our children. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Teach your child how to guard their heart. Guard their heart to choose wisdom. Guard their heart to reject foolishness. Teach your children how to guard their heart and to create a Deuteronomy 6 passion for the Lord. How do we do this? What is it that we do or say or model for our children that teaches them how to guard their heart? And look at verse 24. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. We teach our children the value of choosing good words, right words, words that edify and build up. And we teach our children why we don't use foul language. Why we don't use that word. So we go back to the store and we hear someone say a word that isn't appropriate. And we teach our children, you know, that's not a word we use. Why not? And you explain why. It's a corrupt word. It's a foolish word. It's a foul word. We teach our children those things. We teach them at home at the table. We teach them at home in bed. We teach them when we're walking in the way. We're teaching our children. Look at chapter 4, verse 25 through 27. And let me just say this about these verses. Teach your children how to set goals and how to arrange their life to reach those goals. We have some goals. There are some things that we want to do as a family. As individuals, there are things we want to accomplish. And so we're teaching them how to set goals. And along this line, don't make all of your children's decisions for them. Teach your children how to think through a situation. Here we have this situation. What can we do to fix this or change this? Ask your kids, present them with a problem or a situation, and ask them what we should do, how we should handle this. You say, well, they're never going to figure it out, so let's just go ahead and do it. Well, you know what? There's more than one right way to do something. And this other way may be a little bit harder, but let's let your children make the decision, do it the harder way, and then explain to them that there is another way. Let's let our kids make decisions. For instance, it's Mother's Day. You're not going to a restaurant unless you're going to pick up food. But listen, what if you let your kids decide which restaurant you're going to today for Mother's Day? I mean, it's their mom. Let them decide which restaurant. And you say, I don't want to eat at McDonald's. Okay, is there another way to do this? What if you said to your children, listen, it's Mother's Day, and we want to go to a restaurant and pick up some food, and which restaurant should we go to? And your kids say, McDonald's. You say, what if we do this? What if we ask Mom to give us a couple of her favorite restaurants, and then we pick from those? So your kids say, we want to go to McDonald's. But you know their mom isn't going to like that. So let's ask Mom. Is there another way to do it? Sure there is. And this takes some creativity on our part and our planning ahead of time. Because I wouldn't want to go to McDonald's, and I know Ann wouldn't want to go to McDonald's, even though your kids want to go to McDonald's. So think through, present options to your children, and let them work through it. But let them decide. After Mom gives us two or three options, I really like this restaurant, and this restaurant. Then let your kids pick one of those three. But let your kids make the decision. Look at chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 3. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. This is talking about a woman of loose moral character, and specifically to sons here about this kind of a woman. But listen, teach your children that there are immoral people in the world. Teach your children how to spot them. Teach your children how to avoid them. And teach your children, and you can find this in the book of Proverbs, teach your child how to look for a good spouse. These are important things. Look at chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1, teach your children about money. Look at chapter 6, verse 6. Teach your children how to work hard for money. Teach your children how to earn money. You can find in Proverbs, teach your children how to save money, how to spend money. Chapter 11, verse 25, teach your children how to be generous. All of that is found in the book of Proverbs. So search Proverbs, and I'm going to talk more about this later. How about reading through the book of Proverbs? a chapter a day for a month, maybe in the month of June. Read through the book of Proverbs, a chapter a day, and look for every reference to money. How we earn it, what it's good for, how we spend it, how we give it. Look for it. It's there. And teach your children right now during this COVID-19. I cannot begin to tell you how encouraging it has been to speak with many of you who's have lost your job or been sick and had to take time off, or whose hours have been cut, or whose pay has been cut. And how encouraging it is to speak with you and hear you say how much you appreciate the instruction you received through Financial Peace University that encouraged you to be planning, to be saving for a rainy day, for an emergency, and to hear you say, we're okay because we have planned for an event like this. Folks, that's the book of Proverbs. Now, if you have lost your job, or your hours have been cut, or your pay has been cut, or whatever, are you talking to your children about that? Are you talking to your children about why, even though our pay has been cut, we're okay because the Lord taught us to save for an emergency? Are you teaching your children that? And not just teaching them, but when they get their allowance or when they work and get some money, have you taught your children how to give? This is what mommy and daddy do, and this is what the scripture says, and this is what you should do. When I got to church, there's a little table out in the lobby, and sitting on the table, there's a plate covered with foil. And on top of the foil was somebody's offering envelope. Somebody came by the church this morning. They slid their offering under the door, and they left outside the door a plate of homemade cinnamon rolls. You know who you are. You're my favorite members. And the 10 of us who are here this morning have either already enjoyed or will enjoy those cinnamon rolls. Thank you very much for that. That was thoughtfulness in the book of Proverbs. That was kindness in the book of Proverbs. That was generosity in the book of Proverbs. That was giving your offering and sliding it under the door, which is wisdom. They didn't leave their offering envelope sitting on top of the cinnamon rolls in case the wind came along or somebody who wouldn't honor their sacrifice came along. That's all in the book of Proverbs. Look at chapter 6, verse 16. Glance at it. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to him. I think we had better circle that. If there is something that God hates, we had better be telling our children. And we'll look at this list. Seven things that God hates. Our children better know what those seven things are. Our children better hear us talk about those things and model obedience to the Lord. Because if the Lord hates those things, then that's not how mommy or daddy want to live. And by the way, for those of you who are the only Christian adult in your home, for whatever reason, Be faithful. Be faithful in teaching your children. If you're a single parent, if you're the only Christian in your home and your spouse isn't going to reinforce these things, you teach your children the truth. And God promises to honor that. God promises to bless that. And so you be faithful, whether you have a spouse to help you or not. And there may be times when you look at this list of what God hates, or you look at the contrast between wisdom and foolishness, that your spouse may be foolish and your children may come to understand that. You teach your children to honor their father and mother, even though he's acting foolishly or she's speaking foolishly. We teach our children the truth and let them grow up seeing the difference. And I know that's hard, but it is possible for you as a Christian influence in your children's lives to teach them the truth from a life saturated by the Word of God. Well, quickly, a couple of other things, and we'll wrap this up. Chapter 10, verse 13, we teach our children about discipline. Why, when, how. You see that in chapter 12, verse 1, chapter 13, verse 24. Chapter 11, verse 17, I'm just going to skim these because we're about out of time. Chapter 11, verse 17, teach your children to be kind. Kind to one another, kind to their siblings, and you know what? Kind to strangers. Now, kindness to strangers has been almost eliminated from our culture. We have raised a generation that has been told to avoid strangers, not talk to strangers, to be afraid of strangers. And we need to teach our children to be kind to strangers. And it's only gotten worse with COVID-19. Because I'm sure you've been on the bike path. There are some people you see on the bike path who are convinced that if they look you in the eye, they're going to get COVID-19. So they don't look at you. And when you say hello or good morning, it about scares them to death and they about wet their pants because they didn't expect a stranger to be kind. Teach your children to be kind to strangers. Oh, they need to be careful. They need to exercise wisdom, not foolishness. But we can be kind to strangers. We are allowed to do this, and it's what Proverbs teaches us. I said I was going to just skim over these, didn't I? Look at chapter 13, verse 3. Teach your children how to guard their lips, which connects back to chapter 4, verse 23, to guard their heart. Our words can be a cruel weapon and can be used to tear apart and destroy families, relationships. And Proverbs has a lot to say about speech. Look at chapter 15 and verse 20. This is the last one. Chapter 15 and verse 20. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Teach your children to respect their mom, not just on Mother's Day, all of the time. Teach your children to respect their parents. Now, hopefully you've been taking notes all along here, but just going to blitz through a couple of things. We're only halfway through the book of Proverbs, and we've hardly scratched the surface. Proverbs is a gold mine, and you need to take your family digging. Key topics: wisdom and foolishness, pride and humility, time, money. And as you read through the book of Proverbs, take note of the contrasts. Proverbs teaches through contrast. There are key people in the book of Proverbs, the wise versus the foolish. Look for the simple. Look for the scorner, or maybe, depending upon your translation, the mocker. Suggestion, read a chapter a day. On the first day of the month, read the first chapter. Second day of the month, read the second chapter. And because today is the 10th, look at Proverbs chapter 10. And as you read through the chapter, take notes, write charts. Look for themes. Look for people. Do this at breakfast before your kids go to school or at supper. Do this together as a family. Sit down. And let me just quickly look at Proverbs chapter 10. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son, there's a person, a son. So on your piece of paper, at the top, write son. And then underneath, you can put a wise son makes a glad father. There's a second person. You have son and you have father. A foolish son. You have a wise son and a foolish son. Is a sorrow to his mother. Now we have a third person. We have son, father, mother. Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. Now we have the contrast between wickedness and righteousness. Separate piece of paper. One piece of paper, you have son, father, mother. Another piece of paper, you have wickedness and righteousness. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry. The Lord provides for the righteous. But he thwarts the craving of the wicked. A slack hand causes poverty. What's that? That's laziness. This is a character quality. That's a third sheet of paper. A character quality that we admire. Well, maybe you can put that with righteousness and wickedness. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. Here's a fourth character quality. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son. Let's skip down to verse 8. The wise of heart, there we have wisdom, will receive commandments, but a babbling fool. We have the wise son, we have the fool. Whoever walks in integrity, verse 9. Here's another character quality. Look at verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Here we have the righteous and the wicked again, and we have speech. The speech of the righteous and the speech of the wicked. Verse 12, hatred stirs up strife. There's another character quality. Let's look down at verse 15. A rich man's wealth is his strong city. In other words, the rich man trusts in his money. The poverty of the poor is their ruin. Verse 19, words are many, more about speech. Verse 20, more about speech. Verse 21, more about speech. So work through the chapter and make a list. Make lots of lists. Look for the contrast. Look for the people. Look for the themes. And do all of this. Memorize Proverbs. Look for spiritual passion. People who love the Lord. Teach your kids to love the Proverbs. Teach them to make lists and to look for the people. All of these are important. One other thing. And then we'll look at a couple verses in chapter 2. In Proverbs, look for consequences. We just saw several in chapter 10. Look for consequences. Don't be the parent who takes away all the negative consequences. Be the parent who lets your children suffer the consequences of their decisions. Be the parent who allows your children to suffer the consequences of their words or their actions. Because this is how children learn. Chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight, we're praying for insight, and raise your voice for understanding. If you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then here's a consequence, a positive consequence. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. That's Deuteronomy 6. That's spiritual passion. And find the knowledge of God. Dear friends, Proverbs is a treasure chest. Go treasure hunting. Proverbs 2, go treasure hunting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us the truth. Saturate us with your word so that it oozes out of us and it touches the people around us, our children, our spouse, our grandchildren, our neighbor, the stranger in the store. Help us to be people of your word and people of gospel impact. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.